It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Everybody, welcome back to the Yankee Center podcast. We are here and we are in the postseason playing in Fenway, which I wouldn't have guessed if you asked me that back in April, but you know what? That's just the way the year has gone, and we're gonna have to suck it up and win a game in Boston. Tom, how you feeling today? It's game night.
It is game night, and it is a very exciting time, obviously. Playoff baseball is always exciting, and there's always a bit of added nerves when you're playing your biggest rival historically. You don't want to lose because you don't want growing up in the Northeast, you don't want bragging rights for some of your Red Sox friends. So hopefully we can pull this one out. It's been an up and down season, to say the least. There's been a lot of underperformance. We didn't win the division. There's been a lot of failure, but there's also been a lot of really cool stuff. You know, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton stayed healthy. Gerrit Cole had a really nice year for himself. And, we have a pretty sick bullpen and honestly a pretty solid pitching staff as well. So, you know, if we win this game, I wouldn't be shocked if we went on a nice run. I think we could compete with Tampa.
I'll be shocked, honestly, just because, again, we made the playoffs, but I truly don't see a World Series team here. And to me, if you beat the Rays, then I think they'll make it. If you beat the Rays, I think they'll 100% make it to the World Series. To me, it's just about, again, getting past the Rays, and it's something they haven't been able to do. So it's kind of like with Houston, man. I mean, it's a team we were never able to beat in the postseason. And the Rays, I feel like, are going to get to that status if they win again this year against us. So, you know, the Yankees really got to win this game of not just baseball, but it's a mental battle, man. It really is. And but let's not even get ahead of ourselves with the Rays, though. Let's focus on this one. In Boston, I mean, they just announced their 26-man roster, and it does not include J.D. Martinez, who was down with a sprained left ankle.
Posted in the lineup, too.
Yeah, so that is definitely nice to see because he's someone you just don't want to see. If he was playing tonight, I would fully expect him to go deep just because that's how it is against
the Yankees. He seems to have a knack for that.
He does. So, you know what? I am not complaining about him being out. And on the Yankees side, a couple interesting parts on the roster. We got Greg Allen on the roster as a pinch runner, presumably, which is cool. They added Rob Brantley, which makes sense because they're going to start Higgy in this game. And if they use Sanchez off the bench to pinch hit for Higgy at one point, they're going to need another catcher to come in. So that's where Brantley would come in to play. So, that's definitely a smart decision. And overall, I'm feeling pretty good about this game. Like, if you had to ask me right now, I think the Yankees will beat Boston. And not because of their hitting, but I really like the pitching when it's fully rested like this, man. I mean, if you have Gerrit Cole go anything over five innings, which he very well could because he's Gerrit Cole, you're going to have a very easy path between Chapman, Chad Green, Loaisiga, Holmes, Severino, Michael King. I mean, they have a lot of names in that bullpen who are not just good, but can give length, like go more than one inning for the most part.
Let me take a look at something. Like, all right, I'm taking a look at Gerrit Cole's rest rest numbers, you know. I just want to see, because I believe he's on 5 days of rest.
I think regular rest, yeah.
He last started against the Toronto Blue Jays, and that was 4 or 5 days ago. Let me check. Sorry for the delay. I should have had this ready, but hey, I'm stupid. There it is right there. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's actually on 1 day of extra rest.
Even better.
And so on 4 days rest, Gerrit Cole in 9 starts. Gerrit Cole only had 9 starts where he's on truly regular rest, where it's 5 days, where every fifth day. Now, every sixth day, which is what Gerrit Cole is on now, he actually had a 2.7 ERA in 15 games started. That's the largest sample size of the year. So Gerrit Cole got that extra day of rest. And historically, if you're looking at the numbers, that bodes well for him. And on 6 days of rest, he actually is 4-0 with a 2.97 ERA. So it would be nice if we got him an extra day. I don't know. But the numbers bode well for him there. And I'm confident. Obviously, he hasn't pitched well in his past few starts. I really believe that the hamstring injury is really messing up his mechanics. It's why he keeps yanking the slider. But hopefully, for one night, Gerrit Cole can, you know, rub some dirt on it and pitch like Gerrit Cole. So, you know, I do feel confident in Gerrit Cole tonight.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's kind of hard not to, you know, despite what we've been through with him recently, like you mentioned. This is a guy that really was powering through in the playoffs last year, including against Tampa. I mean, the dude was an absolute animal. He pitched on 3 days rest and was nuts in game 5 of the ALDS. And, you know, really, when it comes to Cole, when it comes to the big game, like the playoff games, I don't worry about him too much. Like, I'm a little more worried than previously because of how he finished, of course, which is just natural. But overall, I mean, I'm expecting him to go out there and shove, man. I really am. I'd be pretty surprised if he shit the bed again. I really would. And he's going
to
give it his
all. Nobody likes to shit the bed.
No one does. Cole is the ultimate competitor, man. And I've been saying that since the moment we signed him, because it's a fact. There is no starter or no player in baseball that wants to win as much as that guy does, man. Like, I really believe
that. No, Gerrit Cole at Fenway Park this year has not fared well. They have a 964 OPS against them on the road, and he also has a 6.19 ERA at Fenway, and it's not great. It's not great numbers, but what I think we're betting on is where he has one night where it clicks. That's all we need. That's all we're asking for. You know, throw the numbers out the window from this year. And obviously, there was only 3 starts at Fenway. So, and one of them, I might add, was last time, and he threw 6 innings, 3 runs, which is a quality start technically. But Anthony Rizzo should have had a ball. It should have been 6 innings, 1 run. I'm going to point that out, but. You know, I'm confident in Gerrit Cole tonight. And, you know, he's the ultimate competitor.
Gerrit Cole is, again, someone I will forever trust in general. So I'm going to go into this game optimistic. But like I was saying, you know, you don't need him to really go too deep into this game. Obviously, it'd be great if he could, but you don't need like a 7-8 inning performance or anything. It's not like the bullpen is taxed or that we have a weak bullpen. In fact, we really... Despite the best the bullpen has been all year with the addition of Severino and now Mike King really coming into his own at the end of this year, I mean, there are a lot of guys I just trust in general. And I would be really surprised if, again, I'd just be really surprised if we lose. I really would be in this game because the pitching is just so strong and they're on a high right now with the exception of Gerrit Cole himself. So in the end, I think it's on him, man. If Gerrit Cole performs, I don't see a scenario where the Yankees lose. And on Boston's side, they're using Nathan Eovaldi, who we just crushed, and even taking that out of the equation, he's good, but is he, like, an ace? No, absolutely not.
This year, he actually has pitched quite well. I will give him
that. I'm not saying he's bad, but is he an ace? There's a difference.
Hmm. Fun fact, I'm looking at the numbers right now. Aaron Judge has a 1.079 OPS against Nathan Eovaldi.
Oh, he's going to go deep. He always goes deep in the wild card games.
I believe he's gone deep in every wild card game we've played in.
Yes.
It's kind of freaky, but we'll take it. Aaron Hicks had a 420. I'm just looking at the numbers. I'm not a master of baseball reference, so, and I'm having trouble like getting versus, like doing the team, but like it's complicated. I wish I could explain it better, but I'm dumb. But, you know, I believe, you know, this game is all about the Stars minus JD Martinez. Like, if someone's going to take Gerrit Cole deep tonight, it'll probably be Devers. If someone, or like Bogarts or something, you know, like, I believe this is going to be a night where the Stars show out. So, like, you're looking at Stanton and Judge being the offense for the Yankees.
Really, in the end, you got to hope that some of the guys in front of him get on, because that's really going to be the difference maker. Otherwise, why wouldn't they just pitch around both Judge and Stan? I mean, that's what I would do if the rest of the offense is doing what they were doing during the Tampa series. I mean, they were asleep. They were straight up asleep. Glaber needs to step up during this game. Someone like Rizzo needs to step up, especially Joey Gallo, who, again, I'm going to say it now, all the Yankee fans out like to shit on Gallo. I genuinely am not worried about him long term or next year. It's been a 2 month sample size, and he had a hot streak but got hurt, and that kind of fucked it up. But with that said, he needs to step up either way. But I'm just saying, for those who say he sucked, he does not suck. He is just going through a very tough spell right now.
Who did you say was going through a tough spell?
Gallo.
I mean, the thing with Gallo is he's obviously not been good this year. Let's not sugarcoat things.
I mean, but not with the Yankees.
I meant with the Yankees. He had a quite a nice year overall, thanks to his Texas numbers. But what I will say about Gallo is he is a streak hitter, very much so. And even when he's not streaky, you know, he can walk, he can get on base, and also he provides good defense when he's not letting pop-ups drop. You know, he's got a gun for an arm, he's got speed, he made a few really nice plays against Tampa. You know, he threw a guy out at third, he made a nice diving catch that would have been huge on Saturday, but then the next batter, Brandon Lau, hit a three-run homer off of Monty. So, like, the thing about Gallo is, like, even if he does, he could go, like, 0 for 2 with 2 strikeouts and 2 walks, and he'll make a great defensive play. And people will harp on the 2 strikeouts, but nobody will notice that the dude got on base twice and set up a potential rally and also impacted the game defensively. So, like, I think you could have that. And also, like, that dude, it's bomb. So, like, if he connects with an Eovaldi fastball, we all know that Eovaldi, you know, always has had a gifted arm. If he connects with one of those Eovaldi fastballs or maybe hangs a curveball, you know, it's very, very possible that Joey Gallo could be one of those guys where we're coming out of today's game saying, hey, that guy showed up and, you know, he helped us win this one.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. Gallo is a five-tool player in general when he's at his best. And when he's not at his best, when the hit tool isn't there, he's still going to hit dingers. He's still going to walk. He's still going to do all the little things you need him to do. So overall, he's not a guy I worry about for that reason. He's really not. And I would say that, you know, you got to hope he gets hot, because if he gets hot and you have Stanton and Judge even doing somewhat of what they were doing like the last few weeks, this offense is going to rake. Even with other guys struggling, they'll run into their hits on occasion. You mix that with the big three kind of doing their thing, and it's going to kind of pan out at that point. So that would be huge for the Yankees offense. And if the Yankees are hitting, they're going to go far. I mean, that it's as simple as that to me, because I really don't worry about the pitching too much, even the starting rotation, which
no, our pitching is the strength.
I mean, if anything, the rotation is going to be the one thing I'm very curious about if we advance. I want to see how they navigate through that, because they have a lot of directions they can go in.
Yeah, the thing is that even though we don't necessarily have the best rotation, we're like 8 or 9 deep in the bullpen, and we have multiple bullpen guys that can throw multiple innings. So, like, a guy like, say, Severino could throw 2 or 3 innings. You get what I'm saying? Say Nestor only throws 3 innings in a potential ALDS game. Then you can go to Sebi, you can go to Herman. Even a guy like Licky has pitched multiple innings. So, like, that. And also, unlike last year, there are off days in the playoffs this year. So, like, we're
Thank
not playing.
God.
We wouldn't play 5 straight games. So you could pitch. You could pitch your pitchers in every game if you want. It's not. You get days off. So
yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. Overall, like I said, I think you're pretty optimistic about this game in general, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that there are certain scary aspects to this. I mean, I am scared about Cole's hamstring, for sure. I am scared about, you know, besides Evaldi's last start, Evaldi has basically chewed us up and spit us out. Historically, and that's scary, but you know, overall, I tend to lean optimistic. My Twitter wouldn't indicate that, but I am actually optimistic, especially because I really think that there are a lot of professionals on this Yankee team. Like, I think Anthony Rizzo, regardless of the results of his at bats, are going to work good at bats, like, is going to work a good at bat, you know.
Hey, you know who has 5 hits and 9 appearances off of Evaldi?
Rizzo?
Yes, he does.
Nice. There it is. Called that.
Yeah, I got that 889 slugging.
I wonder what Brett Gardner's numbers are against Evaldi.
I'll tell you right now. He is pretty rough. 5 for 30.
Yeah, I mean, in my head, I just remember Gardner just, like, getting torched by Evaldi.
Well, I mean, he throws gas, and he doesn't work well with gas.
Yeah, and, like, he just pops up a lot. I think if you go through, like, the play log of all of that, there are probably a lot of pop-ups, if I were to guess, or rollovers.
Stan does well against Evaldi.
Yeah, Judge. I mean, and Judge, too.
Judge, too.
I can't believe Stan hit that cutter that Evaldi threw out. It was last Friday he inside outed a ball like 400 feet into the Boston bullpen on an Evaldi cutter, and that's just like, that's ridiculous. That kind of strength is ridiculous. Like, if I were to guess a home run, if I were to guess someone would hit a home run, it would be Stanton, and like, not because of what he did last week, just because it seems like he's the likely one to catch one, if that makes sense. And I'm looking at Joey Gallo's numbers against Evaldi, and they're not good. 1 for 8 with 1 for 7 with 1 walk. So he's got a 250 on base percentage and a 393 OPS, because that one hit was a single. So that's not great, but you know, hey. Like I said, well, first of all, small sample size, and second of all, it just takes one hit. One big hit today is what's going to really, you know, define, you know, success for today. Like, you really, even though the numbers, you can look at the numbers and say, oh, this guy's had success, or that guy hasn't had success. What you have to realize is that this is the ultimate short sample size. This is the one game sample size. So everything that you did before, even though the statistics exist, they don't necessarily matter in a way.
No, I would agree with that. And the thing is also, in the playoffs, it's just such a different atmosphere, man. I mean, numbers kind of go out the window so often. I mean, you'll think a guy clearly has the advantage in a matchup, and then the pressure gets on one of them, and it totally flips around the other way, or someone has a ton of momentum, and they're hyped up, and it totally changes the way they're feeling on the mound. I mean, there's so many different variables, especially in a playoff game, that you can't just quantify with numbers. So I think that, you know, numbers are obviously nice to look at, and they're useful for making decisions to an extent, but you just don't know. You really don't know. So, if I'm the Yankees, I am going to try to really – I think the key is going to be making Eovaldi work, man, because you want to get to that bullpen, because the Red Sox don't have a good bullpen. It's not good at all. I mean,
Is Ottavino
their best reliever?
No, they're throwing Nick Pivetta to close games. They had Nick Pivetta close, and he's a starter. They had a starter closing on Sunday. Matt Barnes has had, like, I think he had an injury and he has had slumps. And Ottavino, you know, the thing about Ottavino is that his numbers look good, right? His numbers will look good, but that dude just doesn't handle big moments well. And we've seen that firsthand. And, like, a big reason why the Yankees traded him was because they were like, yeah, this dude doesn't handle big moments well. And that was reported by Andy Martino. And it's like, yeah, if you bring Ottavino into this game specifically, a one-game do-or-die game, I would bet money that we score. Like, he just doesn't have that kind of dog mentality, I guess. He's like the anti-Cole.
I mean, that sounds about right. I mean, he doesn't really have that kind of Cole killer mentality. I don't think Ottavino's ever going to have that, and it's precisely why he's the guy.
Nice guy, though.
No, he's a great guy, actually. He's so nice, but
very nice guy.
No offense to him, but I hope we destroy him.
Yeah, I mean, like, buddy, I like you as a person. But
yeah, I like you.
But, like, you're playing for the Sox, and you are the one person that's in the way of us making a ALDS. So, yeah, we hope you suck for a night, just like you did last Sunday.
Is there anything else that's on your mind? I'm trying to think. I mean, because we kind of went over the matchups. We know what both teams are working with in terms of the roster. I just don't know what to really discuss.
I have some things.
Yeah, go for it. My mind's a little bit of a blur right now.
All right, so, like, Gerrit Cole, obviously, ace, $324 million. How many times does he face the order? Do you get aggressive with that bullpen? So say he's throwing six innings, one run, six innings, two runs, something like that, right? Say he's gone through the order two times. Say the Yankees are up 3-2. So it's a one run game. We know Cole has a propensity to give up a homer. That's like kind of his bugaboo. Like, you're not going to string a bunch of hits against Gerrit Cole when he's right, but you can tag him because he can leave a fastball right in the zone, and then it can get hit. So my question is, like, what do you let your ace go through for the seventh, or do you bring in, you know, Johnny Loaisiga or something?
It's very circumstantial, quite honestly, because you can always tell when Cole is really Gerrit Cole, because there's been times where he just kind of powers through and yeah, still has like a six inning
that's what I really like about
start
him.
And that's what I'm saying, like, when he has that kind of game, you love it. But you all, in that kind of case, yeah, I would say play it safe, go to the bullpen, and eventually his luck could run out. But if I see that he's genuinely dominating and he got tagged like once by just because he fucked up once after like a walk and a home run or something, then I would consider leaving him in for sure. You can tell the difference between him powering through and him dominating. They look very different on the mound.
Yeah, dominant Gerrit Cole is like, it's like the most fun thing to watch in baseball.
I mean, he drags his balls across the mound.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be real here. I'm going to be real with you. This game is going to be close. It's not even in my mind that there's going to be like an 8-3
game. Boston in a wild card game. No,
yeah, with what happened last week, those last two games of last week, I don't think we're going to get a repeat of last Friday where we won 8-3 and it was pretty much, you know, smooth sailing that game. I just don't see that. That's not the way this Yankee team has been all year. And that's certainly not the way that the Yankee Red Sox rivalry has worked historically. So, you know, if it were up to me, I would say give me 6 innings from Cole. If he's really dominant, okay, you can push him for a 7th. But if he's going out for the 7th and the score is still close, say we're only up by like 2, I want Loaisiga up. And then you pull him if he's in trouble.
So. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you always got to have someone warming up. I hate when Boone decides to say, yeah, you know what, I'm sticking with my guy no matter what. I ain't warming anything.
Yeah, don't do
up.
That.
Don't worry about it. He's
today
got
is
it.
Not that day. Today is
yeah,
not
it's
that
not,
day.
It's not that day. And when you have this many guys available in the pen, there's no excuse not to have someone up in any situation that you even think a little bit could get dicey. Always have someone prepped. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's going to be Boone's job, managing the bullpen right and making sure his guys are fucking ready for every possible situation. Because
I also have a question that segues out of this bullpen trust tree. Who are the guys in that bullpen? Say it's close and we're in that innings.
Let me give you a full order. Right. Let me get the list right here. All right, here we go. So, all right, I'll put Loaisiga on top.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Chapman's my 2. I know.
Ooh,
wild.
Ooh, interesting.
No, it's wild. I don't know, Chief. Hear me out. I'm just going to justify it by saying Chapman, I do usually trust Chapman. I've always been a big Chapman supporter. He has obviously had his rough patches, but he's finished the year strong. His splitter is actually looking really good right now, shockingly, after not using it for months, which tells me it might have been an injury, honestly. But, and aside
yeah,
from
yeah, that, to hang now.
Yeah, and I trust him in the 9th inning. If anything, I would trust him less if they said, let's bring him into the middle of the 8th inning. I'd fucking shit myself. I don't trust him in a spot like that. But when he starts with a clean inning, 9th inning, I trust the dude. And that's the situation he's going to be in 90% of the time, 95% of the time. So, like, he's on my trust tree for that reason, but
he scares the living shit out of me.
Oh no, and he very well could scare the shit out of me tonight. But
oh, even if he has a great, even if he gets the job done, he's gonna scare the shit out of you. There is a 0% chance that he's gonna have like a 1-2-3.
Oh no, but you'd more often than not though he does
he's walking.
He
somewhere.
Gets through it. He usually gets through it. He does. You gotta give the guy credit.
Yeah,
he makes it interesting.
He makes it interesting. Yeah, I believe it was like 30 for 35 in saves or something like that. So,
no, I can make one small shift actually. I'll do this.
Okay.
I'll go Loaisiga, Severino too, actually, then Chapman. I feel better doing that.
All right.
And then I'll do Chad Green as my 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this one's close, but I'm going to say Clay Holmes is my 5. Although that one's tight, I can honestly
deserve.
Go with. Yeah, Michael King will be my 6th.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I'm going to say Peralta as my 7, Lickie as my 8, and then Herman as my 9.
Yeah, I think our lists are similar.
Oh, wait, I forgot, Joely.
Yeah, Joely's like 10th. Joely's the definite bottom guy.
Yeah, he's probably bottom. Although I really don't trust Herman at all, if I'm being honest.
If you need to get a lefty out, maybe Joely comes in. But like,
No. If you need to get a lefty out, I fully trust Joely. Honestly, I do.
Yeah.
But
he's Domiso Marte. Let's be honest.
He is.
Yeah. Or Boone Logan. Remember Boone Logan?
I do remember Boone Logan.
I love Boone Logan, man. My trust tree definitely Loaisiga is the top guy. Then I'm going Holmes because that sinker, you can avoid homers, and you know he's been pretty much lights out. I'll give you Chapman there for sure. And then I'll go Green, just because a guy like Mike King hasn't had much experience.
I agree.
And, yeah, he hasn't had playoff experience, and he he's still new to being a reliever as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll go Severino 5, Peralta 6, and then, you know, Wandy. Herman 7, and Joel 8, I guess. And let me see if I missed anyone.
I think you might have.
I might have missed. Oh, Licky.
Yeah.
Right there. Licky's like 6. Licky's right after Peralta, actually. So, yeah. There we go. So, if we can avoid using the bottom guys, if we could just go like 7 from Cole, and then,
well, that's
like
the thing. Even if Cole goes 5, you can very easily fill 4 innings with 3 guys tops.
Oh yeah, you could fill like 4 guys with like Severino. I mean, 4 innings with like Severino alone, if you want.
That's, I guess, I'm saying you can go Severino, Loaisuka, Chapman if you want for 4 innings easily, like very easily.
Yeah.
You have options.
I do have a take that if we win, we should do a Severino combo start in one of the ALDS games. Like, you know, obviously he won't throw 5-6 innings, but, you know.
Well, I'm trying to think. What's the rotation if we advance? Would that be Cole in a full rotation? It'd be Cole, Montgomery.
Cole, Montgomery, Kluber.
Cortez. And then Is Tyone, like, out of the pen, or, like, what's his deal?
I think Tyone's probably, because of the injury, and like they were conservative with him on Sunday. They didn't want him throwing much. And
I know. I'm
just
interested because he did throw.
You only need 4 starters in the playoffs because of the off days. So like,
so maybe he just doesn't make the roster.
No, I think he'll make the roster, the ALDS roster, hypothetically, if we won. Don't want to jinx that. And I think what will happen is I think Nestor and Tyone will combine.
Yeah, that's probably a smart way to approach it.
Yep. Any trouble, you could throw Severino in there, and you could throw
Herman. If anything, pair those two, and if you can, at least have someone like Severino get paired with Kluber.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Just because you never fucking know with Kluber, man. I love him.
I think you want to change up the look as well. Like a guy like
that's
Kluber,
a great change up too. Like, especially if Sevy's pumping.
Guy like Kluber's throwing like 89 to 92 movement guy, breaking ball guy. Severino comes in, throws 98. It just gives a different look. So I think like stylistically, you want to match up these pitchers, and like Nestor is like the same way. So like you want a guy like Tyone coming in after him, because Tyone was in 96 on Sunday, and that was basically like him just that's basically a bullpen appearance for Tyone. Even though he started it, it's more of like an opener kind of thing. And that's why he was allowed to just let it rip. And you saw him hitting 96. So that different looks are, you know.
Yeah.
It's why these managers today have like, they look for the right, they call it the window, the right window to bring in a certain pitcher. Because, you know, it's an analytics thing, and, you know, it works, I guess. I wish the analytics said to use Aroldis Chapman on Friday, but they didn't. And for that reason, we are playing this game in Fenway, and I kind of wanted to talk about that. Obviously, we don't need to recap the Tampa Bay series. I was just wondering, like, do you think Fenway Park is going to be a factor today?
Do you mean as in like in terms of home runs or?
I mean, like Rougned Odor crushes one 370 feet,
okay,
and it lands in front of the right field fence at Yankee Stadium. It's probably in the second deck.
Let me think. I'm gonna say that Joey Gallo is gonna be the one that gets fucked in Fenway.
Yeah,
he's gonna get fucked, and then
I feel like Gardner might too.
Oh,
the lefties are the ones that suffer the most, because our lefties, their power primarily comes from the pole side. You don't see, you know, Rizzo, Gallo, Odor, or Gardner hitting oppo home runs. Gallo can and Rizzo can, but it's more unlikely. You know what I do like about Rizzo is that he was basically like aiming for the wall. Basically, my offensive approach for the Yankees is just, like, aim for the fucking wall. just hit a bunch of Fenway Park wall balls. The only problem with that is that we don't have much speed, if any. Gardner's the only speedster, and I don't think he's got the oppo power to hit the Fenway Park wall. He doesn't have the most oppo power in the world. Let's just say that.
I mean, Gardner barely even has pull power at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he finished the season strong, and he definitely deserves the center. I think his defense is going to play a role today. His range in center field is going to be a big factor because, you know, that's a big center field, man. That's a big right field. That's a big center field. That's a lot of room. It's an offensive park because of left field, but if say left field was as spacious as center field and right field, I mean, it'd be almost impossible to score there. It'd be almost impossible to hit a home run there, I should say. I mean, with that much room, it'd basically be like a doubles kind of ballpark where you hit a bunch of doubles instead of homers.
Yeah, you're definitely right. And I mean, I'm trying to think, is there anything else that's coming to mind for me? I feel like I'm at a blank for what to talk
about.
Does
Gary Sanchez get in this game?
Yeah. Originally, I wasn't sure, but now that you got Rob Brantley on the roster, I don't see why you can't bring him in late in the game. If there's a big spot, Higgy's at the plate, and you say, you know what, we need a home run here. Gary could hit into one, give him a shot. Like, I can definitely see that kind of scenario happening. So, yeah, I'm going to say that Gary gets in the game, but man, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think about what scares me the most about this game. If I had to pick one thing,
I know exactly what scares me the most.
What would that be?
Bottom of the first, Garrett Cole gives up a home run.
Unless we pull like a 2017 wild card game.
Like what happened? I remember Cole was pitching a Sunday. I think it was like a Sunday day game against the Red Sox, and he threw a first pitch fastball to Kike Hernandez, and he roped it out, and then he got bombed that day. And it was just like that first inning is the ultimate vibe setter, not just for us, but for them as well.
It's true.
So like, I can't have Garrett Cole giving up runs in the first inning. Not unless we score multiple runs in the first inning. Then you can say, okay, he gave up one, but we still have the lead. I just don't want to go down early. That's like the thing that scares me the most. I want to be the team that grabs the lead early. I want whoever leads off, probably going to be Glaber today. I don't think the Yankees released the lineup yet. I want Rizzo to get on base. I want Glaber to, you know, flick a single. I want Rizzo to have a hard fought up at bat, regardless of result. I want Judge to put one in the seats. Like, that's my ideal kind of start. I mean, the ideal start is that like nine straight guys hit homers, but that's never happened before. So I doubt that's going to happen. But I mean, if they want to, go for it.
I wouldn't be opposed.
I would not be opposed. So like, that's just the first inning scares me more than the eighth and the ninth. It's terrifying me. I'm dead serious when I say that, because you know, Garrett Cole in the first inning is like when you can get to Garrett Cole in a way. Like we saw his last start against the Blue Jays first inning, they got to him. They got his ass. They jumped a few fastballs. We were in a hole early. We had to climb out of it. And we actually did. We tied it up. And then Joey Gallo let a ball drop. And then, you know, that wasn't great. And I believe someone gave up a homer. Clay Holmes gave up a homer. But still, we fought back. But you just don't want to be down early. It sets the tone. It'll make remember, you know, I have the perfect example. Remember 2018 ALDS game one. J-Hap shaking on the mound. I believe he like walked the first two guys. JD Martinez comes up, 3-run bomb, bottom of the first inning. You're in a hole the rest of the game. You can't have that because Fenway can get wild. Fenway can get rowdy. And it's bad vibes. It's bad vibes. So that's my thing. I don't care if three balls are hit 120 miles an hour, as long as they're caught, I'm cool with it.
Oh, the Yankees are just getting in the Fenway.
Wow, it's kind of late. It's a bit late. Yeah. I hope they had a good sleep. Jeez.
Cortez is holding Bronxy.
Great. That's lovely.
Huge.
That's lovely. I don't know, man. They haven't released the lineup yet. To my knowledge.
For the Yankees.
And it's probably because they just got here. That's kind of weird that they're showing up late. I mean, are they pulling a collective Luis Severino game three?
They were doing a prayer around Bronxy.
Oh God.
At Nestor's place.
Oh God.
They were all gathered in a circle.
You know, it's just I have a bad turtle experience, to be honest. And I can't really mention it, but it involves my fifth birthday, which is, my birthday is in the summer. And so they got me a turtle. My parents got me a turtle. Well, actually, it was my dad and my grandma. They bought me a turtle. My mom was cool with it. And they left the turtle outside in the heat.
Oh,
and
no.
They left it out overnight. Nobody thought to bring it in. Next day, that turtle was dead.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know. I named it Derek. After Jeter. I'm sorry for bringing that up. Moving on, I do have another thing. Greg Allen. That guy might be important.
Oh, the pinch runners. I feel like always come into play to some. During a wild card game, man, they just
this kind of connects to Greg Allen as well. Is like, now that we have speed other than Wade, should Wade start at short and Gio at third, so Gio doesn't have to move as much? You know, obviously he's dealing with the bruise on his thigh. I was just wondering, like, and also, like, I don't see Odor as like an offensive upgrade over Wade necessarily. I definitely he's got much more power. But I don't see, like, there being a distinct difference. And also, Odor really isn't a great third baseman either.
I mean, he gets the job done for, like, obviously a second baseman and, like, a guy.
Yeah, he's adequate for a guy who isn't supposed to be there.
Exactly.
He has to be there.
But he's obviously not a third baseman.
But with Wade, you put Wade at short, you put Gio at third, you got Gleyber at second. You got speed, he can drop down a really nice bunt. that's kind of what I'm thinking here. And obviously the defense. I like Wade more than I like Odor in this, because I know for a fact that Rougned Odor is either going 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts where he swings at pitches out of the zone. But there's also a part of me that knows that if Odor connects with one, he might actually be like a hero in this game, because like Odor seems to have a knack for doing things like that, even though he's not actually like good. It's kind of Rougned Odor is like the weirdest baseball player ever, man.
Oh, I love it. His vibe.
It's just so weird. Cause like this dude has an OPS that starts with a 6, but like all of the hits seem to like come in a nice time. And it's like, I don't know how to feel about you, man.
His swagger is just on another level, and he brings intensity every day.
Yep. Ooh, also, I do have to bring up. Let's bring this up. So, Luke Voit's season's over.
Yes, it is.
And DJ's obviously out until the hypothetical ALCS. God forbid, God willing that we make it to the ALCS. They're both. You know, Voit's done. Like, he's done for the year. That's it. He hurt himself running the first base on a play in which it was illegal for him to reach first base because the base was occupied. So he actually injured himself for nothing, technically. And that basically epitomizes Luke Voit's 2021 season, because he's had three or four different injuries. And, it seems like his Yankee career is probably on the fritz, and I don't want to get into that now, but yeah, he's done. And DJ, you know, I think the biggest loss is DJ, because even if Voit was healthy, he wasn't playing today, let's be honest.
I think it's bullshit. I'm gonna be honest. I think it's fucking ridiculous. But yes, you're right.
Yeah, I mean
the guy deserves to play.
He wasn't playing tonight. Let's be real. And the guy that would have been playing was DJ. That would have been playing would be DJ. And obviously he's done until a few weeks. And I was just wondering, how big of an impact do you think that's gonna have today?
I mean, obviously losing DJ is an impact on both sides of the ball. He's a good defender. He's a smart baseball player. And while
he's not power,
while he's not having his best year offensively, he's still better than whoever you're going to put at second base. So, I mean,
third base, technically.
Oh, yeah. So the reality is, that's a guy you do want in your lineup despite the year he's having, because he's better than the other options. And it's unfortunate that that had to happen. Obviously, he'll be back in the ALCS if we manage to get there. So that's good to know. But God only knows if we even make it that far. But, overall, I think it's going to have an impact, but I don't think it's going to kill this. Of all the things that can kill this team, it won't be that, if I had to make a guess right now.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes losing DJ easier is A, Gio is going to play today, and B, Glaber's been red hot. He's actually been a good leadoff guy. Ooh, kind of, that came out of nowhere. So obviously losing him isn't great. You want your lineup to be as deep as possible. Because of that injury, you're going to have one of Tyler Wade, Andrew Velasquez, or Rougned Odor playing in the infield tonight. But as far as losses go, we're not losing. We are losing a starting caliber player for a bench player. But I don't think this is the injury that would kill us. I think, if we lost Judge, obviously, killer. We lost Stanton, obviously, killer. We lost Glaber right now with the run he's been on, killer. We lose even Gardner, that would be pretty killer, even though I really like Greg Allen as a player. Gio, obviously. But, losing DJ, it sucks. It's never ideal to lose a starting player. But I think it's a survivable thing, if that makes sense.
Oh, I mean, survivable, definitely. Again, while I said DJ is definitely better than the other options, is he astronomically better, or is he a star?
And we're talking about 2021 DJ.
Yeah, the answer is no, he's not. And, if I were a betting man, maybe this is just me being nuts, Andrew Velasquez is going to end up having a good postseason if he plays a lot. I'm telling you right now, because it's kind of destiny.
Bronx it's kid, destiny. Man. I mean, I won't rule against that, man. And
it's just a narrative. I'm 99% sure if given the chance, it's going to become a thing. I'd be so surprised if it didn't.
I really would not start him tonight. I'm going to be honest. Velasquez, I just wouldn't do it.
Would you start instead?
I would start Wade at shortstop.
I would start Velasquez personally, but
I want Wade because I don't think Andrew Velasquez has ever experienced playoff baseball at Fenway. And Wade was on the 2018 roster when we had to go up to Fenway and they were getting all rough and rowdy and they went on a World Series run. And obviously Wade has much more major league experience. Also, Wade's a better hitter, and he's a very good defender, and he can run, and he does everything that Velasquez does, and he does.
Look, I won't get mad if Wade's in the lineup. I just think I'd rather have Velasquez.
I think it's gonna be Odor or Velasquez because they're obsessed with the Wade pinch running thing.
I definitely don't think it's Odor.
I mean, it might be Odor. It might be Gio at short and Odor at third. And
I think they just stick with Gio at third, honestly. I think they're gonna play it safe and do that, but we'll see. If I had to guess,
I don't think Odor's numbers are good against the Valdi either.
They're not.
I haven't checked, but and obviously it's probably a small sample, but I just don't want to. I don't want to deal with Odor and the whole chasing pitches that aren't close and the, having inexperience at third base. And I want Gio to play third tonight. I want Wade at short. I want that contact. I want that speed. I want that ability, that drag bunt ability. ironically enough, because, like, hey, if he's going to be batting ninth and you get a nice drag bunt down or something, you pass it along to Gleyber Torres, and then, you know, who knows, man? I don't know. And it's just something I like, and I like the defense. And, you know, and now Gio doesn't have to play shortstop with a bruised thigh. It's a very tough decision, obviously, because, like, Odor, he was on good Texas Ranger teams. I think people forget that. Like, he was the starting second baseman for, like, teams that made, like, the ALDS and the ALCS. And Wade and Velasquez have never done that. I think, like, that may factor in here. And I think, you know, Wade is a veteran in the MLB, ironically enough. And even though he doesn't play a ton, he is actually, like, in terms of service time, he's been in the league quite a while. And then, like, Velasquez is the kid that, like, yeah, he's exciting, plays good defense. He can give you a good at-bat here and there. He even can run into one. It's just that he's a kid. And do you want a kid who isn't, like, some sort of top prospect or anything? Do you want a kid playing shortstop in Fenway Park? And a lot of people don't know this, is that shortstop at Fenway Park is one of the most difficult positions to play, because, like, the infield moves, like, there's something about the infield where the ball moves, like, really quick on you. People have rated it as one of the toughest infields to play. The players have rated that as one of the toughest infields to play. So I want Wade. I'm like on the Wade train today, and especially with Allen on the bench, ready to be your pinch runner guy. So that's where I'm at.
All right, take the Wade train. I ain't stopping you.
Yeah, and listen, if they start Odor, I'm not going to go on like a 20-minute rant or anything. It's just like, yeah, I don't know. It's like kind of an I don't know thing. Like, especially like you're weakening your defense, and like, is he? What are the odds that he does actually connect with one and hits a home run? They're not great. He hasn't hit a home run in quite a while, I don't think. And like with the right field being so large.
Well, to be fair, he also just hasn't been playing at all, almost.
Yeah, even in the playing time that he's gotten it, he really did kind of fall off a cliff, because his OPS was actually like in like the set, like the mid sevens or something, and like now I think he finished with it like 0.67 or something. It's like Odor became what Odor, you know, is. And Odor is a guy that can connect and hit a few homers, but like he has no discipline. He strikes out a ton. And I think Rougned Odor's biggest asset in his life and as a baseball player is his ability to draw attention to himself.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, like that dude is like he's like a worse Todd Frazier.
That's a good way of putting it, actually.
Like, because remember, like, I don't think, I mean, like, Todd Frazier did actually kind of milk it a little bit as well. Where it's like, yeah, the camera's always on this guy. Like, whenever you see a Yankee hit a home run, Odor's out. Odor and Higgy started this thing where they run out and try to be the first one to greet the guy that hit the home run. It's like, I don't want to go on a long Rugi kind of spiel, but it's like, dude, like, it's just kind of hilarious how, like, arguably the worst position player that we have is also the guy that, like, is, like, a huge fan favorite in a way. And, you know, and it's just like, huh, interesting. Tereus, it kind of reminds me of Tereus a little bit, too. But Tereus is actually pretty decent, versatile. I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to go on a long Rugi rant or anything. I like Rugi as a person. He seems like a cool guy.
And he's fine as a bench player.
Yeah, I mean, he's perfectly fine. And he's willing to move over to third base and get some reps there when he's never played that
position. Yeah, I respect it.
Yeah, and he can run into a home run every once in a while. So I don't dislike Rugi or anything. I dislike him as a player overall. Like if he's starting for my team, like I don't like that. But you know, I like him as a person. So good job being a good dude, Rugi. You know, hopefully now we don't find anything like to make it seem like he's a bad person. I think we just jinxed Rugi's life. Oh God. But let me think if there's anything else I want to talk about. I think we really hit on everything, but I really want to get into. I do have some things. I want to get a little bit more into the Red Sox team now, and also, you know, the X factors. I want to know who's that guy in that Red Sox lineup where you're like, I don't want you in a big spot. For me, it's Devers.
I think it's got to be Devers. I mean,
his contact and power ability is ridiculous.
It's very scary.
Like, he's just a special talent with a bat in his hands. It's just, and he's an RBI machine. Like, he converts opportunities. It's like, if Gerrit Cole, you know, gives up, like, back-to-back hits, and you've got Devers first and second, one out, nobody out, even two out.
It's I'm begging Gerrit Cole to do not mail it in first.
Almost walk him.
Schwarber. Do not just, like, put a pitch down the middle against Schwarber first AB.
No.
Don't do that.
I want Gerrit Cole to basically treat this game like he's a long relief pitcher.
Yeah, be so careful. I'm begging
him. Like, dude, hit the spots. Hit the spots, mix the pitches. Because what he did last week against the Blue Jays, he just kept going to the fastball. And they were just crushing it. It's like, dude, if you don't throw a knuckle curve in here or a changeup, you're gonna give up 10 runs tonight. And he eventually did mix in more pitches, but by that time it was too late. His start was already ruined. It's like, dude, if they're connecting with your fastball, say Schwarber and Kike Hernandez both hit like 110 mile per hour rockets right at like Joey Gallo or something, right? It's like, okay, you got lucky here. You got two outs. Throw a first pitch changeup. Throw a first pitch curveball. Something different. Do not go fastball heavy this game unless the fastball has that vintage Gerrit Cole life to it. If he's got that crazy fastball that we know Gerrit Cole has when he's right, okay, cool, because nobody's hitting that. We've seen Gerrit Cole pitch when he's on. It's a thing of beauty. It's kind of special. When I say kind of, it's like, yeah, that guy can win in a Cy Young this year. And like another guy that I'm scared shitless of, well, two guys, Schwarber, Bogarts. Those are the other two. Those are the Devers henchmen for me that are like, and you know, oh man, there's another guy too. Their lineup is just unbelievable. It's an unbelievable lineup, especially against righties, man. Like, you got Verdugo. Verdugo makes a ton of contact. He's very, very clutch, too. Like, it always seems like that dude finds a way to get it done in big spots. And, like, that's the difference. That's the thing that kind of separates the Yankees and the Red Sox for me. Is, like, I feel very confident whenever I'm watching a Red Sox game. I feel very confident that they're about to come back and whoop a team's ass. Like it's just they've got this team, man, that is, it's just ridiculous that the amount of firepower that they have. They don't even have JD Martinez tonight. No. And they're still running out, you know, a guy. They're running out Devers, Bogarts, Schwarber, Verdugo. Hunter Renfro has had a career year, even though he's not the greatest against right-handed pitchers. Dude has an OPS over 8 this year, and you got to give him respect. And, you know, it's just a ridiculous lineup that, like, I understand. When you look at that lineup and you look at the ballpark, you understand why a pitcher like Gerrit Cole hasn't had success at Fenway this year.
Against that kind of lineup, yeah, I went up. I can't blame Gerrit Cole too much, but
it's like, and Kike Hernandez, I forgot to mention him.
Yeah, Kike too, man. I mean,
and even a guy like Bobby Dalbec, he's been one of the best first basemen in baseball since the second half.
Really, the only weak spots in the lineup ish are like Plawecki and Christian Arroyo tonight.
And I would say Renfro is a bit of a weakness.
I mean, he's a weakness against Cole.
He's much more dominant against a lefty. But yeah. if we bring in like Litke, then like holy crap, he's gonna hit one 500 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's the kind of player he is. He's a lefty killer. And you know what he does? You know what Renfro does? The reason why Renfro is in that lineup tonight That dude is a gold glove right fielder with a cannon for an arm.
Oh, no, he's a great defender.
He can make a difference in the outfield. And Kike Hernandez is a pretty solid center fielder.
Yeah.
And he's I think he's a natural second baseman, but he's got such talent. And, like, Verdugo is a hell of a left fielder, too. He's a very accurate thrower of the ball. And, like, playing in a short left field, like, that's a massive strength for him to have. And they don't even have to put Schwarber in the field today. So, like, don't expect that Higgy hit that pop-up and Schwarber was playing first base and he let it drop. And it's like, don't expect that tonight. Bobby Dalbec's playing first base. Although Bobby Dalbec did let that Judge pop-up drop, and that allowed Judge to hit that double last Sunday. Christian Vasquez dropped the ball. You know, Christian Vasquez, even him is like, even a guy like Plouette, it's nine guys where I'm like, I'm not comfortable against any of you. Like, I really just hope to God tonight that they have an off night collectively. Like, you know, kind of one of those team slump games.
That's the hope, man. And if any kind of pitcher is going to shut them down like that, you hope it's Cole.
I mean, I hope to God.
That's what you got to hope for.
I hope to God, like, this is a nightmare kind of lineup. Like, you compare their lineup to what we're throwing out, it's like, oh man. But, like, the thing is, we have advantages in the pitching and the bullpen standpoint, not just our bullpen being very good, it's also their bullpen being very bad. So we have to grind out at bats against Eovaldi tonight, get into that bullpen, because I really believe we can score against that bullpen, even without DJ.
I mean, like we talked about, the bullpen's not good to begin with, really, in Boston. So, yeah, key to this game, even if you don't hit Eovaldi, just make the dude work. And that's what the Yankees were doing for all the years prior to this year, honestly. They would just constantly wear down pitchers. Even last year in the postseason when they weren't, you know, necessarily the best offensively, they would still make these pitchers grind. And again, like against Tampa or Cleveland, man, like they would make everybody work. So it allows you to get to that bullpen. So that's what the Yankees really got to be fighting to do against Boston tonight. I think that's going to be the biggest key to their success. And because in the end, they will hit enough if they face the bullpen for more than four innings.
Like, oh, I've got something interesting.
Yeah.
So the Yankees, they had to make a choice this weekend in case of a tiebreaker. If the the Yankees ended up having to play a tiebreaker game, they had to choose whether or not to play the Blue Jays or the Red Sox. And they chose Boston. Kike Hernandez had a quote, and he said, "They wanted us, now they've got us. And now I'm scared shitless." It's kind of a no-win situation when you have to make a choice like that. You almost like hope to flip a coin, right? Like, I'm talking about that tiebreaker process. It's like, Manfred, just come in this room and like flip a coin for us, and like, you don't want to give bulletin board material. I'm very against bulletin board material unless you're about to smoke that team. But like, hey, if you wanna, you gave him bulletin board material, so you know what? Smoke him, smoke their ass. Let's go. Like, Judge is a big shit talker. A lot of people don't know that. He's a big shit talker. He's like, in the media, like, what he'll do is, like, he'll be that Derek Jeter-esque, not giving you that answer, not giving you that juicy answer. On the field and, like, in private, Aaron Judge is the biggest shit talker on the Yankees.
He low-key is.
Like, he talks mad shit. So, like, this is, like, right up Judge's alley. Like, he's, like, he doesn't shy away from the moment, so, like, I'm actually going to pick Aaron Judge to be today's MVP. That's going to be my pick. What's your MVP pick?
I am going to go with Give me a sec to think. It would help if I knew what the starting lineup was, but...
Yeah, I mean, geez. How long does it take? I'm looking at the at-bat app, and it said the lineup isn't available yet, and obviously they haven't submitted it, I guess. Or we just don't know about it.
It's quite upsetting.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick an MVP right now, I am going to say it will be Giancarlo.
You know.
He's going to mash. I'm telling you, he's going to mash tonight.
That's definitely, like, he hasn't had a great week since that.
That's going to change.
Since that three-run home run he had in Toronto, he hadn't had a great week. But I'm not going to, you know, bet against that. I wouldn't, especially what he did last week at Fenway. I'm definitely not going to argue with you on that. And like, hey, if one of the big boys wants to, you know, hit a massive home run to get us into the ALDS, all for it, go for it. I am not opposed. You know, I don't know. Do you have like any other sort of like predictions or anything?
Like you said, it's going to be a close game. I'm sure on that. If I had to make, I'm going to go very specific just for the sake of having some fun here. I'm going to say that the game ends up being, the Yankees are going to win 6-5. They will win 6-5. Giancarlo will go deep. Velasquez, if he plays, will at least drive in one run. Calling that right now. Gerrit Cole's going to go 6 innings. Seve's going to go 2. Loaisiga 1 and Chapman 1.
I'm going to go...
Actually, wait, that didn't work, actually. That doesn't add up. Okay,
yeah,
2.
Math.
Well, you know what? Those 3, in some capacity, will all pitch, and they'll clean it up at the end.
There we go. There you go. I'm going to guess 5-3. Yankees. I think Cole goes 6, 2 earned runs, and then go bullpen. I think probably like they bring in Green in the 7th. He gives up like a home run to Kike or something, and then wiggles his way out of it. And then you go to Loaisiga and Chapman and close it down. I think Judge hits the 2-run homer, and I think I think Labor gets like a big RBI single or something. Oh, Gio's playing third base tonight, so that rules. That rules out. Where is it?
Velasquez.
Sugar.
I told you. I fucking knew it. I knew they were gonna play him.
I just don't understand playing a kid that has no experience in this kind of situation.
Because he is the Bronx boy, and he is going to shut you up.
I mean, I'm not at all like hating on him. It's just like this isn't like his big spot. That's all I
genuinely have to think. The Yankees just think he's a better defender at short, and they just think at the plate he's going to do a little bit more than Wade can, and they can always bring in Wade later as a pinch runner if they need him.
It is what it is. We're going for it. And wow, okay. Anthony Rizzo is the leadoff hitter. Glaber's batting 5th. Interesting.
I like that a lot, going
to
be honest.
I like Judge hitting 2nd. That's where you're supposed to bat your second. You're supposed to bat your best player.
I think probably the best way to do the lineup, honestly. I mean, I think Rizzo batting 1st is good, because if he's being the way he should be, he'll get on a decent amount, and you never know with Glaber, man. At the top of the lineup, I can see him feeling a little bit of pressure. 5 is a little bit better, I think, for him. I can see him thriving there a bit.
Higgy and Velasquez back to back, 8-9 is it's not necessarily the most ideal thing.
One of them is going to have a big game. There's no way
hilarious. If there's Higgy no hit, shot like a 3-run homer.
Yeah, like I mean. Hey, Higgy fucking went deep in against Tampa last year in the division series.
That's the thing about Higgy is like he'll go like 1 for 10, but that he'll go
he can jump someone.
He'll go like 2 for 10, but like the 2 home runs will be the 2 2 hits will be home runs. And it's like we'll take that. Gardner's in 6. Not necessarily sure how I feel about Gallo batting before Glaber because Glaber's been much better recently. But hopefully that gives Gallo protection, and hopefully that will force Eovaldi to come in with a fastball against Gallo, and hopefully Gallo just, you know, connects with it. Like, that's my hope. It's a scary time now. I'm actually starting to feel the nerves now. Now that the lineup's out, now that we're only about 3.5 hours away.
I don't really feel nerves till like pregame. Pregame is when I start to get nervous.
Cannabis is legal in Connecticut, so I never feel nerves. But I'm excited. As far as lineups go, I'm okay with it. And I don't actually know how I feel about Rizzo leading off because his platoon splits are opposite.
For me, it's a flip of the coin.
He's actually not great against.
I would have been fine either way.
Fine. You know what Rizzo will do is, like, even if he doesn't get a hit, he will give you a professional at bat. I do like that a slow runner like Rizzo can't hit into a double play in the first inning because he's batting first.
Mm-hmm.
I like that possibility being taken out. Obviously, Giancarlo Stanton, if he hits the ball on the ground, he's out. But a guy like Judge can run a little bit, so there's a probability that he can beat one out. You know, Gallo can run a little bit. Glaber can't run. And Glaber sometimes chooses not to run. Shots fired. I think speed, defense, pitching, and a timely home run is the key to success.
Yep. All right. I think I'm good. Do you have anything left?
I am good. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't think I have much else other than, like, I want to see Aaron Boone really taking charge. If Gerrit Cole shows that he's not ace Gerrit Cole tonight, I want to make sure that, you know, we get someone up quickly in a timely manner. And, it all depends on whether or not our offense decides to show up because, you know, Eovaldi's had our number besides last start. But who knows? Maybe we figured something out last start. We're about to find out. And, if we win, we'll do an ALDS preview. If we lose, we'll do a post-mortem, and we'll talk about why the Yankees should be signing Carlos Correa or Trevor Story or Corey Seager. Either way, it's going to be an interesting few weeks on this podcast. So, you know.
Yeah, let's win it for Bronxy, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, and obviously we missed Eddie today, but he'll be back next episode. And that's all I have, I think.
Yeah, I'm good. Let's hope for the best, Tom. We'll definitely be talking tonight as the game goes on. But until then, this has been another great episode of the Yankee Center Podcast. See you, everybody.
Peace.